Welcome to my commentary on 1 Thessalonians. This section, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We're continuing on now concerning the return of the Lord Jesus. Verse 1 says, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you." This is interesting because so many Christians these days say we should not get caught up in times and dates when it concerns the return of the Lord, the tribulation, and end-time prophecy. Well, according to the Apostle Paul, these people didn't need to know about the times and the dates because he had clued them in, taught all about times and dates in the short 3 weeks he was with them. So for those who don't believe in the times and dates, well, I think you need to be on the side of Paul. He did believe in it, and he did teach it. Verse 2, "For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." We will see later, Paul qualifies this sentence. The return of Jesus will come like a thief for those who do not expect him to return. But for those who are watching and praying for his return, this will not be like a thief in the night experience. Verse 3, "While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Now, if you are a prophetic futurist, which I am, the peace and safety spoken of here, we believe, is the peace and safety that the Antichrist provides for the world when he signs a treaty with Israel. Israel is the hot spot of the world. First of all, the Middle East is the hot spot, Israel in particular. When the Antichrist solves a problem with Israel, the world will be at peace. If President Obama today could solve the Israeli problem with the Palestinians and other neighbors, then we would pretty much have the foundation for world peace. And that will be true in the days of the Antichrist. He will also bring peace to other parts of the world. So when the world is experiencing this peace and safety, you know the end is coming. Verse 4, "But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief." So there you go. Paul qualifies the Christian who is looking for the return of Christ, praying for the return of Jesus. This will not be a surprise for them. Verse 5, "You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." Verse 6, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." Now, the word asleep here in this context does not mean dead, as we saw in the last section. It basically means not being alert to the signs of the times, being caught away, caught up with other things in life and not the important things of life concerning the Lord Jesus. Verse 7, "For those who sleep," meaning who don't want to be aware of the signs of the time, "sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night." Verse 8, "But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Faith and love is what's going to help us get to the end. Faith and love in the community of Christ, in the body of Christ, will strengthen us. Our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is fundamental. This trust should be seen and demonstrated in one another, in those to whom Jesus has joined you in his body. So we have two aspects of trust here. Trust Jesus, trust one another. Which produces love? If we trust Jesus, we'll experience his love. We will share his love to those he has joined us to. And now Paul speaks of a hope. When the New Testament, really the Bible, speaks of hope, it's not in a worldly sense. It's not, I hope I win the lottery. Biblical hope is a certainty of what will happen in the future. So our hope is something that is joyous because we know our hope will come true at some point. And usually the hope Paul speaks about is the resurrection and the return of Jesus. So it's not that we're hoping maybe Jesus will return, maybe he won't, like winning the lottery. It's we know he will return, and we are hoping eagerly for that day to get here as soon as possible. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an important verse for the prophetic futurist. Prophetic futurists are those who believe the book of Revelation is yet to be fulfilled. A big chunk of the book of Revelation is the tribulation period, that 7 years of horrible things happening to the earth. The second half of the tribulation is much worse than the first half, and that's why some call it the Great Tribulation. The wrath of God is seen in the tribulation. It's seen again in stronger, much stronger way in the lake of fire. Prophetic futurists say God has not called us to wrath. So obviously he hasn't called us to the lake of fire. He's called us to salvation. They also say he has not called us to wrath as seen in the tribulation period. Therefore, they say that Christians will be raptured away from this planet before the wrath of God is demonstrated on the planet. Because Paul says here, we are not called to receive and experience the wrath of God. Just something to keep in mind when you think of a pre-tribulation rapture. Verse 10, he, meaning Jesus, died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, meaning whether we are alive or dead, this time the word asleep is being used as he began this section, being dead. So whether we are alive or dead, we may live together with Jesus. So the point is simple. If we die, we'll be with Jesus face to face. If we're living, we can be with him in spirit via his Holy Spirit. Verse 11 ends this section. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So again, Paul's not saying they're not building each other up. He knows they are. He's just encouraging them to continue the practice, especially since they are experiencing so much persecution. We will finish the book of Thessalonians in the next section.